Hello, everyone. Welcome to this support technical exchange session. The topic for today is troubleshooting WebSphere Commerce maintenance installation issues. Today's presenters are Nicola Byrne and Musa Abraham. Musa is a software engineer on the WebSphere Commerce support team. He has been part of the WebSphere Commerce support team since 2008, specializing in staging and workspace components. He was also part of the DB2 development infrastructure team, specializing in Unix scripting and automation. He graduated with honors from York University, Canada, with a bachelor's degree in computer engineering. Nicola is a staff software engineer at IBM. She has been a level 2 support engineer for the WebSphere Commerce team since 2010. At this time, I would like to turn the session over to Musa.
Thank you, Valerie. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our presentation on troubleshooting WebSphere Commerce maintenance installation issues. Slide 2, please. Within this presentation, the agenda topics are: we will first talk about the overview of installing maintenance packages to explain what maintenance packages are along with the main installation steps. Then we'll cover considerations for installing maintenances. We will then follow up with common case studies we deal with, installations, and how to troubleshoot them. And finally, we will conclude the presentation with references and summary. Slide 3, please. We will first cover a brief overview of installing a maintenance package. Slide 4, please. Applying maintenance 6 is a common task when it comes to installing WebSphere Commerce. The type of maintenance package you can install are as follows. There are interim fixes, which are also known as iFix. These are packages which contain fixes for one or more APAR. The term APAR stands for Authorized Program Analysis Report. An APAR is pretty much a fix for a particular defect or multiple defects. There are also FixPacks, which is a collection of iFixes for a release. And also you have a future pack, which is an installable product extension that offers targeted or incremental of a new feature for a product. If something goes wrong with maintenance fix installation, customers would have to open PMRs, and it can be time-consuming to gather all the logs and send them to the support. With this presentation, we'll highlight important hints and tips and case studies to cover to recover from such errors. Slide 5, please. Within this slide, we have important links that show the list of latest fix packs, future packs, and additional APAR fixes available. We highly recommend that customers review these links for definition of the latest maintenance fix release to see if it matches the problem that they're dealing with. As an example, in the image below, if you face a security-related issue with an analytics component, you can see that there may be an unapplicable APAR that matches your problem description and the above links. For each APAR listed within these links, we have a detailed description that shows what was fixed and what was impacted for the code change. Slide 6, please. If you're installing a maintenance fix such as FixPacks, APARs, you must install it to the product directory first and then to the WebSphere Commerce instance after. For future packs, we would always install them to the product first, and then they get installed to the instance during the enablement phase. During instance creation, all maintenance fixes from the product are copied to the new Commerce instance. Thus, if you are just doing a fresh install of a Commerce product, you can install all the Commerce maintenance fixes such as FixPacks and APARs to the main product directory and then create the instance afterwards. During the instance creation phase, all the maintenance fixes are automatically copied over to the instance. Therefore, you don't need to apply them again after the instance creation. If you are installing a maintenance fix on a cluster environment, it can be applied to the WebSphere Commerce product installation directory before your maintenance window without affecting the live application server. This pretty much means that you can install maintenance fix while the application server is running, and the product directory installation does not affect the live server or touch any application profile content. A later period, when you have your maintenance window, then you can install the fix to your instance, which requires downtime. Installation to the product installation directory is fairly quick. Some fixes apply to the base product installation directory only. For example, an iFix installation related to stage propagation related changes only requires product installation and does not need to be applied to the instance. This will be indicated within the README file that you'll get through the installation package. Slide 7, please. Within the slide, we have the execution flow of when it comes to what happens during the application update of applying a maintenance to an instance level. The steps are as follows in the diagram. So we will first export a collapsed master air file of the application to a temporary directory. Then we will unzip this collapsed air and patch it with the changes passed on from the maintenance fix that we are applying. We will then zip up the patched air and copy it to the master air file location. Then we deploy this patched air to the application profile using the WAS deployment tooling. Once that's done, we just clear up the previous master air file we copied into the temporary directory before exiting the installation. To get more detailed information of the process flow diagram described above, please refer to the developer's work article written by our colleague within the link referenced below the slide. Slide 8, please. So this slide shows the same concept as previous slide, but this is for a clustered environment. And what happens during the installation of maintenance 6 to an instance which has multiple cluster members? From step 1 to 5, it's pretty much similar as the previous slide where we just copy the master air file, then patch it up move it back to the master air file location. Once that's done, we use the deployment manager tooling from WAS to distribute the same copy of patched air to each node and then deploy its content. After that, we just clean up the temporary directories and complete the installation. Slide 9, please. Many customers are not sure about exactly what fixes are installed to the product as well as the instance level. The main configuration file, which keeps information about the latest fixes added along with the history, is called the NIST-XML file. There are two copies of this file, one for the product and one for the instance level. So each time a commerce install happens, we update the NIST-XML file of the product, and same goes for the NIST-XML file for the instance level. Within this slide, we show an example of a type of entry which you may see in the NIST-XML file. You can see in this example that there is that the environment is at 7006 level, which is 6.6, it contains one iFix, JR12345, installed. We also can tell if it was that we can tell that it's originally installed at 7003 level and then later upgraded to 7005 and finally to 7006, which is 6.6. This information could be important as it can be needed for installing maintenances in orderly fashion. Also, for NIST-XML file, you can see exactly the time and date of what happened in terms of which fixes were applied first and next. This information can be helpful when it comes to looking back the timeline of what got installed to the commerce instance as well as the product. Slide 10, please. When you make an update related to the fix path or future path to the database has to correspond to the latest fix path and future path level that it's at. To track this information, all you have to do is look at the site table. And within this slide, we show an example of what would show up in the site table. So if you do a select star table, you would see something like this in the site table. So the site table is populated during the update DB step of the fixed pack upgrades and future pack enablement step of a future pack being enabled. For example, if we do a select start on this table, we can see the column definitions such as edition, version, release module, fixed pack, level, and the component name that you have installed. Within this example, you can see that we are at fixed pack 6 level and that we have enabled future pack 5. You can see that from future pack 5 level, we have enabled many features such as management center, foundations, and much more. Slide 11, please. Within this slide, I have listed important log files to look at when it comes to installing a maintenance package. As described in the earlier execution flow of updating the instance of commerce, we have logs for each step, such as expanding ear or exporting ear, patching of the file, updated, and much more. Please refer to these listing of directories if you have encountered any issues during the installation of maintenance 6 step. Slide 12, please. So I'll now pass the presentation to Nicola to talk about the considerations of installing maintenance 6.
Thanks, Masay. The next few slides are some of the things you need to consider when installing any commerce maintenance. If you're getting a failure or the installation is taking a long time, this may be explained by the following items. Ensure you're logged in as the correct user. For example, you need to use the root user or a Windows administrator to install a fixed pack. As our fixed packs and feature packs are cumulative, installing a high fixed pack or feature pack level onto a much lower level will take some time. For example, if I want to install fixed pack 7 on top of a base version 7, all of the fixes, included in fixed pack 1 to 7 inclusive will be installed. This will take a lot longer than upgrading from fixed pack 6 to fixed pack 7, where we're only installing the updates from fixed pack 7. This is something to keep in mind if the installation process or the update DB is taking a long time. As Ms. Say mentioned earlier, during maintenance installation, we extract the commerce ear to a temporary directory, patch it with the updates, and then redeploy the ear. In order for this to run smoothly, we need to make sure there's enough space in the OS's temporary directory. If this fails, you're likely to see messages in the logs relating to the export ear task. Similarly, exporting the ear and redeploying the ear will take longer, depending on the size of the ear. So sometimes people will use their test environments to figure out how much time is needed for a maintenance installation, whereas the production environment may actually have a much larger ear. So you need to also bear this in mind. Slide 13, please. You need to make sure you're using the most recent version of the Commerce Update Installer. So before applying an iFix or a fix pack, just take a quick look at the link I've included there and make sure you're using the most up-to-date version. If you've got any customizations, you need to make sure the custom assets were deployed correctly. Otherwise, when we redeploy the ear, the customization will get overwritten. And the link I've included under this point just gives instructions for how to deploy customizations. Slide 14, please. If you've got a firewall, either disable it or allow access to the WasAdmin server. Take backups, your database, app server, configuration, and ear files. That way, if you do run into some problems, you can recover quickly by restoring the backups. With every iFix, we include a README file. Some iFixes contain specific instructions related to that iFix, so you should always make sure to read these carefully when preparing to install. Most of these topics and more are covered in the Info Center document included at the end of this page. Slide 15, please. We've put together some case studies to show how to go about troubleshooting these installation issues. Hopefully there's some tips in there to take away. Slide 16, please. This case study looks at a fixed pack installation failure. The installation failed with a DB2 SQL error. So the main log file for database errors is going to be updatedb.log. If you take a look at the MuskGather under the collecting data manually section, you can see what other logs we look at for fixed pack installation issues. I've included a couple of links here from the troubleshooting section at the Info Center. You should check here first to see if your issue is already documented, and you'll find an explanation for the issue as well as a solution. Slide 17, please. This slide just shows what we see in the update DB log. And the first error reports that we failed to execute some SQL query. And at the end of the page, we get the actual DB2 SQL error. Slide 18, please. In order to troubleshoot this, we can take a look at the SQL error. The SQL code -670 relates to the SQL message SQL0670M. And so they're both directly related. So we can do a search on the DB2 Info Center on that SQL message. And the explanation given for the message is that the row length exceeded a limit of length bytes. This length is defined by the table space, and we can see from the DB2 SQL error that the table space involved is user space 1. If we look again at the SQL that failed to execute, we can see that this SQL was altering column sizes in the address table. And the error happened because there wasn't enough space in the table space to achieve this. Slide 19, please. So how do we get past this issue? This type of issue can occur when a table has been customized. In this particular case, some extra columns had been added to the address table. And as a result, when the fixback attempted to increase the size of some columns, there wasn't enough room in the table space. This user space 1 table space has a 4K page size. And if we go into the database and add up the length of all the columns, we can see that the page size, will exceed 4,005 bytes if we alter the column sizes according to the failed SQL statement. Moving the address table to a larger table space, that will accommodate the update, will resolve this issue. So there's a few ways of going about this, and it's best to check that out with your DBA, but I've listed a possible approach here, and that's to create a new temporary table in a larger table space, then copy the data from the address table into the temporary table. Then you'd need to drop the original address table and rename the temporary table to address. There's more information available on this approach in the Developer Works article listed at the bottom of this slide. Slide 20, please. This second case study looks at a feature enablement failure. Again, the failure shows the DB2 SQL error, but this one's different from the last one. So in the case of feature enablement, the main log file is enable feature, the feature name, so for example, enable feature store announcements.log file. And again, you can see what other logs we look at for feature enablement failures in the must gather, and you can check out the troubleshooting links provided. Slide 21, please. The log file is very similar to the last log we looked at in case study 1. The first error reports that we failed to execute some SQL query, and at the end of the page, we get the DB2 SQL error. So it's just the same as the other one, it's just different messages. Slide 22, please. So I touched on this in the last case study, but anywhere you see a DB2 SQL code, you can transfer that SQL code directly into a DB2 SQL message. So for example, in this case, the SQL code -601 refers to the SQL message SQL0601N. And you can do that with all SQL codes, and then it makes it really easy to look it up in the DB2 Info Center. For this SQL message, if we check the DB2 Info Center, the explanation is that the name of the object to be created is identical to the existing name, in this case, file proc rel table. We can see it from the error message, but we can also tell that from the SQL that failed to execute, which was create table file proc rel. So checking the database, we can see that the table does actually exist in the database. Slide 23, please. So why does this happen? It happens when a feature enablement or even a fixback installation, this can happen for either. If the feature enablement was run previously, but failed before completing. Some of the database updates were made, but the feature enablement wasn't completed. So once you go to enable the feature again, it fails because of this. There's a few ways we can go about getting past this type of issue. The first option is the best option, and that is to restore the database to a state from before the first failed feature enablement. If it's not possible to restore the database, we do have some other options. Slide 24, please. The next option is to open up the SQL file that contains the create table. We can find what file is being executed from the logs as well. If we locate the failing SQL statement, this can be commented out so that if we rerun the enablement, we won't try to create this table again. Slide 25, please. There's a couple of potential problems with this approach. We could rerun the feature enablement and get past this database update, but then fail on another for the same reason. We can manually check the SQL file to see what has and hasn't been run, but there's a number of SQL files executed during feature enablement, and this could be an extremely tedious task. So that brings us to option number three. We can add a parameter to the command line when running the feature enablement. The parameter is -d continue on SQL error, and we set it equal to continue. This will allow the feature enablement to continue in spite of any SQL errors. We need to be careful, though, when using this approach and make sure to check all of the reported errors in the log once the enablement is completed. Make sure that they're all related to adding data that already exists. You should be able to tell this pretty quickly using the SQL codes reported in the logs. Slide 26, please. This case study, it also looks at a feature enablement failure. In this case, we're getting an error when running the generate plugin task. We can use the information under the build failed to figure out what file executes the generate plugin. Slide 27, please. This is just a continuation of the build failed from the last slide. And from this, we can see that the failure occurs while executing line 191 of deploysearch.xml. Slide 28, please. This slide just points out the relevant information from the logs that we've just discussed. So the generate plugin and target, the exception that happens, and where we're picking up the deploysearch.xml underneath the build fails. Slide 29, please. So if we open up the deploysearch.xml file and take a look at line 191, I've marked that in bold on this slide. This also shows us that the target is generate plugin, which matches what the logs tell us. Slide 30, please. This issue is usually caused by some incorrect configuration. To get past this, we should check that the properties file has been configured correctly. I've listed createInstance.properties on the slide and also jackalClassPath.properties because that's the properties file referenced on line 191 in the deploysearch.xml. If there's something misconfigured, we just correct it and we rerun the feature enablement. But if we can't find the configuration problem, we can change the setting for the generate plugin task to allow the feature enablement to continue when the generate plugin fails. The plugin can be generated later from the WAV admin console. So to do this, we just change the value of fail on error from true to false within the generate plugin target. Slide 31, please. So on this slide, you can see where the fail on error has been changed to false. We can also add some debug to the target so that when the feature enablement is running again, we can print the search web server name and web server node name in the log. Once the feature enablement is completed, we can then take a look at those values, and that should help us to understand what was going wrong in the first place. Slide 32, please. I'm going to pass you back over to Musay for the next case study. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicola. In case study 4, we have case study dealing with fixed back installation failure during pre-ret checking phase. I've seen this issue come up very often as customers install fixed backs and as well as APARs. Pretty much the issue is while installing fixed back and pre-ret check fails with error message saying unable to find IBM with your commerce version that is greater than or equal to 7.0 or less than or equal to 7.005 in this example. Due to this error, you are unable to proceed to the next step, so you pretty much hang. So slide 33, please. The root cause of this issue is that the wrong commerce.product file is being used under commerce deletion directory path or the application profile path. This configuration file could be replaced by the wrong version, one during deployment from toolkit to runtime server, or if you're copying the runtime server files to the toolkit one. Generally, commerce.product file isn't a file which gets deployed as a part of regular application deployment. Hence, when the installer is looking for a corresponding runtime commerce.product file or toolkit version of commerce.product file, it's finding the wrong one, therefore the error. Slide 34, please. To troubleshoot this issue, you can open up the commerce.product file under the section where it says product name. You'll see that the type of product file you have between in the ID tags. If you are working with a toolkit box, your commerce.product file should reflect wc-toolkit.be, and if you are using a runtime server, it should be wc-server.be. The BE stands for Business Edition. That could change depending on you know what type of commerce you've installed. It is Server Edition, Business Edition, and Express Edition. But generally, we're showing you here for Business Edition. Slide 35, please. To resolve this issue, all you have to do is update the commerce.product file to reflect the correct version of the tag. If you are seeing this error for a toolkit, you should make sure to set the tag for toolkit edition, and same goes for server edition on runtime server environment. Once you are done updating the commerce.product file, you can retry the installation, and this time it should succeed. So it's important that you don't deploy the commerce.product file to different environments. A configuration file that should belong to the installation of commerce that you have locally. Slide 36, please. Here we have several reference links for you to look at. We have MustGather links and many troubleshooting links you can refer to. Slide 37, please. In this slide, again, we have further links here for troubleshooting and developers, fixed pack installation, feature pack installation, and much more. We also have a developer's works article link mentioned in the earlier slides for understanding troubleshooting fixed pack installation issues. Slide 38, please. So to conclude our presentation, the summary of what we have done, gone over includes we discussed the overview of maintenance packages, installing maintenance, and consideration for installing maintenances. We then touched up on four case studies and finished it with references. Slide 39, please. This chart includes links to a number of sites that we that provides valuable online resources for Westphere Westphere products. Visit the Westphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming Westphere Commerce Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you have attended today, and access previously record presentations. I will hand you back to Valerie now. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Musa and Nicola, for a great presentation. That concludes the presentation portion for today's session. Please remember to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the products and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to the wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe. Once you get the mailing list, you can subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. We welcome any ideas you may have. I am moving on to the question and answer session now.
Yes, hi, this is Eli from IBM.
Yes, please ask.
I got a question regarding, let's say, installing a fixed pack and getting errors, let's say, like, you know, an index, DB2 index already exists. Why can't we just drop the index and let it recreate it by itself?
Hi, it's Nicola. I can answer that. You can do that as well, but again, you could run into the same issues, as in if you get an error saying this index is already created, and then you drop the index and you run it again, you could have another index that was already created as well, so you're going to keep running into that issue. So your best option is actually to restore the database after a previous failed installation. Does that answer your question?
Sort of. Okay, let me give you a part two for that. Why would you have a duplicate index situation in the first place?
Well, the reason this happens is if you've previously run a fixed pack installation or a feature enablement, and for some reason it failed or it didn't complete successfully, you went, you fixed the problem, and you ran it again. Some of the DB updates were done before the failure, so that's why you run into this sort of a situation.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
There is a question in the chat.
Yeah, so this is Musa. There's a question that says, what are the steps considered to take a backup before an APAR to be installed for toolkit and runtime? And cluster APAR installation procedure and steps to consider. The README do not actually say anything about cluster installation. So when you apply an APAR to an application profile or the instance level, you would have to do it on the main node where you install Commerce at, and then the deployment manager will distribute the APAR to all the other nodes. So in doing so, it's important for you to back up the main node. That way, you have the copy before the installation in case something goes wrong. So that would be the step that you need to take, is to back up using the application, the WAS admin console, to back up the application profile before the proceeding to the installation. That was a question by Alan. So the next question by Padma states, if I have multiple Commerce instances in the same Commerce server, can I have different Commerce fixed pack levels for each instance? The answer to this question would be no. It's very important, not just for the Commerce instances and Commerce servers and whatnot. It's important across all your other environments, whether it's Toolkit, your Commerce product, your Commerce fixed pack level, and everything needs to be matching. Otherwise, you will have so many unknown issues, and you'll be in a situation where you're not sure what could happen in terms of the problems that you might get. And I have different feature pack level for each instance. And then again, Padma adds on saying, can I have different feature pack level for each instance? The same answer goes to this question. You have to have the same fixed pack level and future pack level across all your nodes, across all the instances, if that's what you're using, whether it's QA or whether it's development. Otherwise, as you move around, as you deploy code changes or deploy database changes, you may run into issues because of the inconsistency. And then Michael Schill asking the questions page, in order to audit trial success of installation, how do I double check? Let me think about this one.
Do you mean like we've got a script that you can run called version info, and this version info will detail all of your fix packs and iFixes that are installed? At least I'm nearly sure it details the iFixes anyway, but that example, I want to send out a report to the team to show fixed pack level, feature pack level, etc. The best place to look, I guess, is the site table. But this version info, if you run that, it creates a file that shows your current versions. I can follow up with you again afterwards once I've double-checked if that actually does show the iFixes or Musée, if you know it off the top of your head.
I also see there's another new entry in there. For example, in the test server, I have three different commerce instances and three different sites. Can I have different commerce fixpack levels for each instance?
Okay, so to answer the question, this question, definitely, I mean, you can go ahead and do that, but it's not something we recommend. Usually, your commerce product will contain all the main configuration files, you know, your master air file, your configuration files, such as your product level, and much more. And then as you create new instances, you're going to have multiple different instances that are within, you know, different, you know, that would have different configuration files and such. So if there was, say, for example, a fixed pack update or future pack update, that would affect the main configuration file that would be under the commerce product directory, then this would need to be deployed to all the other instances. So in doing so, you might get into issues. So it's recommended that you should have the same fixback level and same maintenance level across all your instances to avoid uncertain issues.
I see we have no more questions. If you're on the line and you want to ask a question, please press 1 and 0. And we did get a response that it worked and that the version info command worked. So what Nicola suggested did work. Well, I see that we have no more questions either on the phone line or in the group chat. I would like to introduce the IBM Industry Solutions Client Success Essentials Community. It is a new site that brings together users of IBM software to share, collaborate, and connect with each other virtually. In this community, you'll find training videos, upcoming events, blogs, important web links, and more. And if you go out there, you'll see that there's a lot of interesting information and there's also a link there for you to join that community. And if there are no more questions, and I see that there are not, at this time we will conclude the webcast. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website. Remember, within a few days, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site. Thank you. This concludes the webcast. You may disconnect now.